Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of an oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Amen. Blessed be your holy name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our teacher, our judge, our advocate, our high priest, our deliverer, our redeemer, our groom, for whom we are all waiting, preparing, for the bride is called to prepare herself, to present herself blameless, for the groom to rejoice, to be prepared for the marriage of the Lamb. Blessed be your holy name, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful family of God. We thank you, Lord, for the work that is going on in every one of our lives, for we are all the part of the Word, and we are all bound to the living Word that is leading us by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters, friends in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we are all called to serve Thee with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all as a whole, as a creation of God. You call all of us, be a man, and I will call you, and you will answer me. Lord, may you bless all of us to live a life that is worthy of Thy calling, to glorify Your name, to do what is pleasing according to Your will and pleasure in Your Spirit. May you be with us today. Walk in the midst of us, touch us, anoint us. We hold on to the power of your Holy Ghost. The power of anointing destroys all the yoke. We thank you, Lord, for all good things in our life. We bless your holy name for where we stand, and we bless your holy name for where we will stand tomorrow. Blessed be your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for all of us who returned. Thank the Lord for the journey mercies. Thank the Lord for what He is doing, what He has done, and what He will do tomorrow. Amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. By God's grace, we are focusing on what happened to Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Last Sunday, the main focus was on the birth and the death of Aaron. After he was born, the Lord did not call him immediately. He was 43 years old, around there, when the Lord called him to support his brother. Amen. How the Lord called Aaron to serve him? To support his brother. To work with his brother for the Father in heaven. To arm shoulder, to hold hands together, to hug him, to kiss him, to establish that friendship, that brotherhood in love before they started walking with the Lord. Amen. So, by God's grace today, we will continue on the meditation, what happened to high priest and when he was called high priest and what happened when he died. So which mountain he died, my brethren? Mount Hor. H-O-R. So the Lord conveyed his plan, his will to Moses. And the Lord told Moses to prepare Aaron for him to take home. And the Lord also prepared Eleazar for him to pass the high priestly garment. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. The Lord calleth, the Lord justifieth. The Lord who created us, who made us, who formed us, He will redeem us. The redeeming perfection of the bride, it is always subject to the perfect will of God. Amen. And the Lord is expecting all of us to yield, to submit to His will, to trust Him, to obey Him, and passing the light to one another. We have to learn from how the high priestly garment was passed from one to another. He had to die in order for him to lose his garments to someone. Can Aaron throw away the garment? If Moses clothed Aaron, Moses is the only one who can take off the garment. Amen? What God has done, no man can do anything against it. So Moses had to take Aaron up on the mountain. And a man who spent his life on the valley, in the plains, for the people of God, he drew his last breath on the top of the mountain. The parents of Moses, Aaron, Miriam, we meditated, Amram, Jochebed. If we are a bit careless, we may say, Jochebed, Jochebed, Jochebed. The Lord comes and tells us, there are four beasts in my heavenly presence. They always cry unto me, day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. So I want you to cry, Jochebed, Jochebed, for 10 days straight. And you are crying, Jochebed, Jochebed. What does it mean? God's glory, God's glory. After a few days, you feel weary, you feel bored. This word is the same. There is no change, I want something more. So you slightly add some variety to it, and you call Jochebed. What is Jochebed? It means God's glory departed. A slight, subtle change of uttering what the Lord called us to do so can change the meaning, the purpose, the fruit of that work from God's glory to God's glory departed. Jochebed, Ichabod. I-C-H-A-B-O-D. Hope you all remember. The mother named the child to remember that God's glory left, departed. To remember that event. So the Lord has called all of us as we are the parts of the Word, and He is the Word of God. A word must be read, correct? A word must be uttered. I write something on the paper, I say, I love my brother, and I only know what I wrote, so I read the letter and I say, I love you, my brother. Words of life. The spellings are correct, but if I say, I hate you, my brother, so I read it wrongly, correct? The parts of the Word written by the author of our salvation, we are subject to the beautiful, divine, perfect will of God, and we are just fighting the battle against our own flesh, against our own free will, just to submit to His will. The river will take you. We don't have to steer left and right. Amen? We have to put our work, put our faith into work, exercise our faith, not against the will of God. So Aaron, who served the Lord Almighty as an obedient, humble servant of God throughout the wilderness, in the 40th year, the Lord decided to take him home. So before he took him home, he gave instructions to Moses, and he prepared Eleazar, not just on that day, the Lord called all of us by name. He was preparing all of us. He has been preparing all of us. So Moses took Aaron to the top, stripped off his garment, and clothed Eleazar, and Eleazar came down as a high priest. So we will continue from that beautiful moment of passing the garment. The Savior, the Redeemer, He had to die on Calvary to give you life. Amen? He died to give us life. And we call it as salvation. The garment of salvation, He clothed all of us. And that garment of salvation is for us to trust Him, obey Him, keep His commandments, and pass the light to one another. Keep doing His works. Amen? Let's turn our Bibles to understand what exactly happened after the Kohen Gadol was taken and the garment was passed to Eleazar, his son. Numbers chapter 20. Let's continue from here. Chapter 20, verse 23 to 29. I would like to read this again. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, because he was called for his people. He was called to serve his people. He has to be in the midst of his people. He was gathered unto his people. His people, my brethren, not God did not simply say my people. He always put everything on the heads of Aaron and Moses. Amen? Aaron was bearing the judgment of the people on his breastplate, the Urim and Thummim. Now, which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron off his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount, and when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. May the name of the Lord is glorified in the midst of his children. Look at this commandment from God. God told Moses, bring the people, let Aaron be gathered unto his people. So there was an event which caused this action from the Lord, the strife and envy in the place of Meribah, second time. And the people, they gathered at the place called Kadesh. The Mount Hor was around there. After the death of Aaron, what happened to people? Did God simply rebuke Moses and Aaron alone, or the assembly as well? The Lord who called the people to serve Him, the Lord who gave specific instruction to the people, bring this, bring that, to build the tabernacle, to prepare the holy garments, to bring the anointing oil, the Lord did not spare the assembly. Amen? That doesn't mean the Lord destroyed them forever. Wilderness is a spiritual lesson for all of us, how the righteousness of God can save us, can encourage us, can strengthen us, can rebuke us, can chasten us, but all in truth and in love. So it's a beautiful lesson. So God, when He rebuked, He didn't leave the assembly. He said, Aaron, Moses, and this assembly will not enter. So now, let's read from chapter 21, from verse 1 to verse 9. Brother Clement, please read this for us. Chapter 21, from verse 1 to verse 9. God bless you, brother.
The king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Ephraim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I'll utterly destroy their cities." And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah. Verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, when there's no food and no water, and our soul loathed this worthless bread?" So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. Well, we have spoken against the Lord, against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live."
Amen.
So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived.
Amen. God bless you, brother. This is the consequence of people gathered at the place where the Lord commanded them to gather, just because Aaron is about to die in the place called the Mount Hor. Amen. Because the enemy, the king, Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard. What happened? He heard. Who told him? The people are here. Who sent the king to attack the people? The king heard that Israel came by the way of spies. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. Then he took some of them prisoners after the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was taken by the Lord, and a new high priest was appointed, Eleazar. There was also a consequence to the people of the Lord who gathered unto that place. The king from the south came, took some fresh prisoners, captivity. Then what the people said, they immediately turned to the Lord. They cried to the Lord, "Lord, we give you the promise. If you deliver those people who were taken from us, we will utterly destroy all the enemies." And the Lord said, "Is it? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to do what you said? I will show you grace and mercy." So he gave what they wanted. But within a short period of time, they showed their true nature again. Stiff-necked people. They destroyed the enemies. But what happened in verse 4? And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea. Remember these two words? Red Sea and Mount Hor. So they were traveling again in this particular path. They became weary again. When you are weary, when you are so sad, when you are so angry, or even when you are so happy, your eyes will be blurred. Your ears will hear some muffled noise. Whisper of your flesh, whisper of your mind. But the still, small voice of the Spirit can only be heard when we are at rest. Blessed rest. Blessed quietness. The Lord would never speak to us when we are embracing disquietness. Restless heart. We have to rest at His feet. Amen. So the people, they were so busy in destroying their enemies, and now they are traveling back. And again, the same problem happened. Again, the reason? Food, water. Water, food. Food, water. When Jesus was giving parable on the mount, the 5,000, they asked Him for food. They could have asked Him anything else He could have given. The word of the Lord, the water of life, the never-drying, everlasting fountain sitting on top of the mount, but people were asking for bread and fish. And the Lord just gave them, "Take whatever you want." Now, these people, they were complaining because of weariness, frustration, disappointment. The scripture says, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Which way? Way to the promised land or way to Edom? Which way we are going? Turn to the right or turn to the left? Are we going backward or are we going forward? The way of the Lord would never discourage His children. The way of holiness is reserved, preserved, protected by the mighty hand of Lord Almighty. No beast can enter therein. But if you go in some other way, indeed you will be discouraged, disappointed, weary, angry, sad, groaning, murmuring. Even so, could be absolutely a very good peace, so happy, but not the divine one. This world can also give you peace by being absolutely no repentance, no remorse, no need to feel anything bad about ourselves. You will be at peace. That is deadly, poisonous, evil peace. That's not peace. It's poison. So the people, they went to Edom. In the way, the soul, what happened? Became so disquiet. When your soul is not well, what happens? Verse 5 happens. And the people spake against God. We sang a song just now. It is well. When the peace of God rules your heart. It will never be well if we do not have the peace of God. And that peace of God is not an answer. Is not explaining some doctrines. It's an experience which will surpass every single understanding that you can think of. No reason. Peace of God is peace of God. No one can measure the greatness of God, and the peace of God is a testament to it. You have no idea why you are at peace, but you will be content. You will be calm. When the whole world around you cannot hold peace, and the Lord can make you to hold His peace, and you won't know why, but you know because of Him. That's all He wants. If someone comes and say, if you read book of Psalms 7 times, you'll get peace, that's a lie. If you read these books, get so much revelation, you'll get peace, that's a lie. Peace is not a revelation. Peace of God is given by God to His tabernacle in Him whom He rests. Mighty deliverer is He. The Lord is mighty in battle. Not inside the tabernacle, to protect the tabernacle, outside the tabernacle. Joshua has to go outside to fight the battle. The city has to be shielded, surrounded by the walls. Amen? For the people of God to stay in rest. Joshua overcame all the battles. What happened? For the very first time, children of Israel, they rested from all the wars. Until we enter into the promised land, when our Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Joshua, redeem all of us to Himself, we would continue to fight this battle of righteousness. Amen? It's in our mind, it's in our flesh, it's in our heart. We fight on all the sides as a whole. So, when people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. A few years ago, I received a wonderful message from another brother concerning his testimony and his experience. He said, some people in his congregation, they told him, the sheep have the wisdom of the Lord. If they do not see any green pasture, they'll wait for a while. If they still don't see any green pasture, they will jump out of the territory and they will find some other green pasture. How many green pastures are available in the whole world? 2? 3? 10? Then what is the definition of the Lord throw His children in the dry, thirsty land? Why the Lord send different seasons in the children of God's lives? Did Noah simply receive the ark from heaven, fell from the cloud? He had to build it. Was it a few days job? He had to embrace that patience of long suffering to do the work of God diligently, sincerely, believing there is a purpose in building this ark. There is a purpose in constructing this vessel. For the Lord is alive and He will make known unto him when the time comes. And the flood came. Until the flood came, people didn't see the ark was sailing. Amen? But when the ark was sailing, people were not alive to see the ark was sailing. Only the family of Noah was survived, along with the pairs of animals. So, the Lord reminds us from the wilderness, He did not call His children to come and rejoice when the victory was there. He called His children to fight the battle when people of God, they go through valley. The true servants of David are those who were with him in Brook Kidron. Ittai, forgot not his name. He said, I will die for the king. I will go where the king goes. And we follow the King of Kings, son of David. He is not someone who give you beautiful, perfect promises every single day and provide all your needs, grant you good health. He is not your family doctor. He is not your financial advisor. The Lord whom we serve, the King of Kings, the Alpha and Omega, the High Priest for whom we are born and we are breathing now, everything was created by Him, for Him, in Him, through Him. Do we truly remember that? Then we are called to do the works of Him for the glory of Him. God used Prophet Isaiah, but He told him to walk naked. Did He exalt him? God used Stephen. The whole family of Stephen must have been celebrating. The Lord called one of our own to be the holy, faithful man of God, to serve the Lord. He was stoned to death. The Lord would never find His glory in celebrating the flesh. Old Testament, New Testament divides the way the Lord deals with all of us because we received the power of Holy Ghost. We received the Comforter. We received the power to witness the name of the Lord throughout the corners of the earth. We stand at a time that it is nothing about us, not about us, about Him. What is the purpose of us being rooted as a ministry in this land? To keep all of us safe, happy, socializing, say hi bye, having lunch together, always keep smiling, feeling that we are all filled with the love of God? That's a lie. A ministry of God must redeem souls. The boat must be filled with fish. But if the boat is repaired, there is one who will repair the boat. He is always on the boat. Amen? He will rebuild the city. He will rebuild the wall. He will rebuild the temple. And He will fill the temple with the Shekinah glory. And when that happens, what the Lord openeth, no one can shut. Your basket will overflow. But until then, do we have the faith in Him? Do we have the sincere heart that the Lord who calleth, He would justify it? He will deliver us. He will see us through. But what we have to do is to have that unquenchable desire and hunger and the passion for the Lord, who is also called the Lord of Harvest. Amen? Amen. If the Lord is all about perfecting 40 of us, we can die today. Fine. The Lord can say, my brethren, do you believe me? Are you all blameless? Okay, let's go home. You all can stop breathing today. If the Lord wants you to breathe, for what? There is a part of the Word living in every one of you, has its own manifestation at different appointed time of life, not the same time, not the same season. And you are called to redeem the seeds of God in the way the Lord is going to deal with your life. Bountifully. Grace is sufficient. So the Lord wants us to learn from what happened in wilderness because He introduced holy garments in the midst of people. They were struggling to overcome their flesh. But the Lord still called them my children. Amen? If God is life, God's children will have life. If the Lord says, my children perish for the lack of knowledge, then how can they become His children? Only if you judge them to death. Correct? If the Lord says, my children are weak, they are so annoying, so bad, my children,
they are destroying because of lack of knowledge. My children, my children, my children. Don't you see what the Lord is saying? Don't you see, don't you listen what the Lord is saying? My children. My children, mine, mine. The Lord is speaking, yet He's warning, mine. No one can snatch God's children from His mighty hand. Even if they are punished, chastened by Him, He still calls them, my children. We have to be careful. Because God's children are nothing but children, child, a babe, crying, making all the problems, struggling to walk, falling here and there, go and hit the wall, throw the food, do this and that. The Lord would say, yes, rebellious child, stiff-necked child. Oh, you are going to hit yourself on the rock. You are going to destroy yourself. He would say all of that. But has He ever said, they are not my children? Amen. The Lord speaks plainly, but because of our flesh, we confound our understanding. Amen. In this chapter, what happened after the death of Aaron follows by capture of God's people by a king from south. Amen? Now, see what the Lord says here. They complain because of there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So, they came to Moses praying for the Lord to deliver them, that we have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord, against thee, pray unto the Lord, that He taketh away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. What happened next is very similar to golden calf situation, but in a different way. When Aaron was alive, people gave all the gold earring that they had. He threw into the fire and golden calf came. Behold, a golden calf came. Now Aaron is taken, and now Moses has to deal with the situation because Eleazar just received a garment to be the high priest. And now Moses is facing a difficult situation because people again complain for water and bread. Even after witnessing the 10 plagues, Red Sea division, manna from the heaven, the Lord leading the people of God in the wilderness by pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, yet they wanted bread and water. Knowledge. Curiosity to know more. In our churches, I'm speaking from the wilderness. To know more, to see things that we don't know, as if the church can become a news channel in no time. We all would feel filled. Wow, is it this country attacked this country? Is it in Psalm 83? Let's go on a series. A subtle deception of having this hunger and thirst for knowledge can make us completely blinded from the true knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Conforming to who He is. Amen. The fruit of the Holy Ghost. That is what who He is. The tree of life. Amen. So when that happens, the flesh becomes uncomfortable. Why? The Lord would prick your heart. Conforming to the image of God is not a sailing, a smooth journey on the sea. Amen. It's a process. Amen? Like forging through fire. The potter will squeeze you. You'll feel pain. But it's a process. It will bring life. Amen. So, what happened here is after the death of Aaron. And let's go to chapter 25, and look at how Moses deals the next phase of wilderness without Aaron. Amen? Now the Lord took Aaron. Don't forget, Aaron was 123 years old when the Lord took him. Moses was 120 years old when the Lord took him. Around the same year, 40th year, but in different mountains, two different mountains. We'll go there. Chapter 25, verse 1 to 9. Brother Clement, please read it for us. Please read 1 to 9 first, then give me some time, then 10 to 15. God bless you.
Now Israel remained in the Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. Then invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Now the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you, kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren, a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the men of Israel into the tent and thrust them both through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000.
Amen. So now, chapter 25 presents another situation in Baal Peor, and as we could see, people died, 24,000, but the zeal of Phinehas, the Lord said, I did not consume the people of Israel today. And we all know that Phinehas is the son of Eleazar. Amen? So in chapter 20, Eleazar received the garment of his father Aaron. 25, the son do something to put an end to the abomination because the Lord was dealing with the people. And let's look at what the Lord spoke, how the Lord acknowledged and promised concerning Phinehas. Father, son, son's son. Amen? Because Moses, when he was called to prepare the garment, the Lord said, prepare it for Aaron, his sons, and son's sons. It goes on like a generation. Because you need to bring the three words. Prince, priest, Levites. Amen? Prince, priest, Levites. So let's read, brother, from verse 10 to verse 15.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, had turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood.
Everlasting, amen.
Because he was zealous for his God.
Amen.
And made atonement for the children of Israel.
Amen.
Now, the name of the Israelite who was killed with a Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu, a leader of a father's house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cosbi, the daughter of Zer, who was head of the people of her father's house in Midian.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Verse 1 to 9 presents what the people committed, how the Lord reacted, and how the Lord stopped the plague when a vessel did what has to be done by the zeal of the Lord. By the zeal of the Lord, Phinehas did what he did, and the Lord said, I am pleased, and he stopped that killing of people, 24,000 taken. But after that, the Lord promised Phinehas. What he says, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, so Aaron's name is mentioned, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. There was one who did the same thing for the very first time, Moses. Moses went up and told the Lord, Lord, I stand in the gap between thee and thy people. Remember the covenant, they are your children. He was pleading for them, interceding for them, and he put his life on the line for the people of God, saying, take my name out of the book. That is the true priesthood. That is the true servanthood. Sacrificing oneself for many. Standing in the gap between the Lord Almighty and the people, knowing not whether he will spare you or not. It was not a small thing for Moses to escape. You know why? What God told to Aaron, you enter into the holy place, get in, get out, do what is this, make the sound properly, that you die not. Amen? If it was a joke, Uzzah, who touched the ark, was struck and he died. And God told Moses, this is the mountain, it's a holy mountain because I'm descending here, my presence is here, tell the people, lest they touch and die. Is it? Let's look at this. From a mighty, strong mountain, the Lord says, if someone touches the mountain, they will die. Amen. Then go to a small, tiny piece of wood, made for tabernacle with golden plates. The Lord said, keep this inside the tabernacle. Okay, Lord, we do it. What happens? If someone touches, they will die. Okay? Two different touching, same results, death. This is the holy place, sanctuary, my tabernacle. Let the high priest enter into the holy place and go out of the holy place. But if he do this, he die not. Again, death. Then King Saul was cursed. When he touched the garment of Prophet Samuel, it rent it, correct? And what Samuel said? Your kingdom divided into two. And what the Lord said? Touch not mine anointed. He said the same for the mount in which his presence was covering. He said the same for the Ark of the Covenant in which he put his word inside. He said the same for his kings, his prophets, even the garment of the prophets. Then Tamar, the sister of Amnon, who received injustice from her brother Amnon, she went and found shelter with her brother Absalom, correct? But what happened after she went through the harassment? She changed her garment. And she was crying, weeping, groaning, moaning. And she went to her brother's house. Why she changed the garment? In order to receive the blessing from his father, Jacob had to deceive his father by changing his garment to look like a hairy man, to deceive the father like he is Esau. And Isaac blessed Jacob. Why he changed the garment? When God threw out Adam and Eve from the garden, he also clothed them with coats of skins. He made a sacrifice, the first one to make a sacrifice. But that was not sufficient. Abel was also killed as a sacrifice. He was killed. Righteous blood of Abel was shed on the ground. Amen? So, Aaron died, but the garment did not die. It was passed to Eleazar. Adam and Eve committed some sin, some shame, but some life died. The skin of that some life was given to Adam and Eve as a temporary covering for them to escape. There was a bloodshed. Now, there are so many occasions we can talk about concerning garments, but I want us to remember the few examples that I said. The high priest Aaron and his priestly ministry did not die when he died. It was passed to Eleazar. And what the Lord did on Calvary, the high priest, as we read in the book of Hebrews, before we started the sermon, the high priest, by the order of Melchizedek, from the line of Judah, in the Old Testament, do you see Levites or the tribe who are called to do all the priestly duties? Amen? Levites, correct? Ask your question, who is the mother of Levi? No one. Who is the mother of Levi? Leah. Amen? He's the son of Jacob and Leah. Joseph, the son of Jacob and Rachel. Benjamin, the blood brother of Joseph. Judah is from David, Solomon, Nathan. From Solomon, Nathan, we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So Jacob had different wives and two concubines. And from those, the Lord brought 12 tribes. Amen? Do not forget. Because now we are going to meditate how Moses blessed the tribes and how David blessed the tribes. Because Moses was also the leader of Israel in the wilderness. David, also the leader of Israel, but a king in the land of Israel. Not in the wilderness. But they both made some divisions. They blessed the people according to the tribes. Why it is very important for us to understand prince, priest, Levites. Let's turn our Bibles. Now we have finished until what happens to the father and the son spiritually. Aaron passed his goodness to Eleazar. Eleazar passed his goodness to Phinehas. Now Phinehas would also be getting the high priestly garment later on. But now let's turn our Bibles to chapter 26. I would like to go in a sequence before I go to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 26. Let's read from verse 57 to 65. Please, brother. Chapter 26, verse 57 to 65. Numbers. Numbers, yes.
And these are those who were numbered of the Levite according to their families.
Amen.
Of Gershon, the family of Gershonites. Of Kohath, the family of Kohathites. Of Merari, the family of Merarites. These are the families of Levites, the family of Libanites, the family of Hebronites, the family of Mahalites, the family of Mushites, the family of Kohathites. And Kohath begot Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Joab, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And to Amram she bore Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. To Aaron were born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Itamar. And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered profane fire before the Lord. Now, those who were numbered of them were 23,000, every male from a month old and above, for they were not numbered among the other children of Israel, because there was no inheritance given to them among the children of Israel. These are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priests, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. But among these there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priests when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said to them, "They shall surely die in the wilderness." So there was not left a man of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. Chapter 26, I want to focus on the last three verses of the new generation. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest. Now, Eleazar, the son of Aaron, he has the garment of high priest. So Moses, the leader of Israel, he numbers the people with his high priest. So verse 63 says, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. Look at the three places. Moab, plains of Jordan near Jericho. But among these, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron, the priest, numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, "They shall surely die in the wilderness." And there was not left a man of them, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. So this is the numbering process that Moses and Eleazar had to take. And the Lord showed a differentiation of how he dealt with people. Lest not any misunderstanding concerning judgment of God's people. But the Lord is blessing all of us to understand how righteous he is. He called them my children. Those who obey him. Amen. Disobedience is not the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For us. So now, in this Levites, you could see there are three main groups. Kohath, Merari, and Gershon. Amen. And the family of Moses is from the family of Kohath. The father of Moses is from the family of Kohath. Kohathites, as we see here. So now, last Sunday, we studied few words so that we don't bring so much words, but we go step by step as the Lord leads slowly, enjoying the way the Lord is dealing with all of us in His life. Kohen Gadol, the high priest, Yom Kippur, the day of atonement. Mishkan, the tabernacles. Those are the only three words I wrote last Sunday. Just for us to remember, tabernacle is represented how? In Jewish culture, how Israel, they treat everything. Forget not, they still follow the law of Moses. Amen? They still follow the books of Moses, because that is what revealed to them. So we say we have Holy Scripture, 66 books, 39 from Old Testament, 26 New Testament. Amen? So that is our blessing, our privilege from the Lord for Gentiles. But for them, they hold on to 39, but mainly the 5. And how they call it? Torah. The 5 books written by Moses is called Torah. Last week we discussed. But Moses and Aaron were taken before people of Israel, they entered the promised land. But Moses finished writing his 5 books. Amen? So what was the weighing scale in the sight of the Lord for Moses? To finish writing the law that the Lord wanted to give it to this people. When Moses finished writing the 5 books, the journey of Moses is completed in the sight of the Lord. He do not have to please the people by sending him to the promised land. The fulfillment of God's promise, God's word, was manifested in the life of Moses. And whatever the human nature that we could see from the scripture, that is nothing. Every man has to be perfected. Every flesh has to be pruned. No one can be out of God's perfection. But the Lord always loved the way he described his people and the way he stood for his servant by saying, there is no one in the face of the earth who is humble like my servant Moses. Who said that? Not the people. The good report came from God who is good. That is the true good testimony that we are all desiring to live and to get from him. He is the only one who can give a good report. Amen? The good report of flesh, it stands for nothing. That is why a child of God should never be ambitious. Cannot desire to be appreciated by people. You are called to please the Holy Ghost. We please God's children by pleasing the Spirit in which everyone is rooted. We are all sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. It is the ark inside which God's seeds are sealed, stored. If you can make the Spirit of the Lord happy, those who are inside that ark, inside the Spirit, will be happy. Blessed are those who are happy in God. Happy art thou, Jacob. Lord of Jacob is my help. But if we try to please people outside the ark, you will die in weariness. Because the Lord said, you cannot serve world and the world. There can be only one master at a time. Amen? We all can have only one garment at a time as the Lord lead our lives. So now, Urim and Thummim. This is the focus of today's sermon. Because Aaron, the breastplate of judgment, cannot be overlooked. Because he was not wearing the same garments as other priests. High priest was set apart, separated, to have some additional things upon his body on top of what the other normal priest had. The fine linen robe, normal clothing, white clothing, whatever, according to the special feast days. But the breastplate of judgment, inside that fold, there was Urim and Thummim. Which is compared by history, by like an oracle. People go and ask the high priest, can we do this or not? He will turn to the holy sanctuary. He will pray unto the Lord. And the Lord will give him an answer. He will say yes or no. Go or don't go. You could see this in Judges, 1 Samuel, King Saul. All the kings, they were asking, inquiring the Lord. How? Inquiring the priest of the Lord. What can we do? So it was like a guidance from the Lord given through his priest for the people from the breastplate of judgment. So there were times when the people of Israel, they left their positions. They had no one to inquire of the Lord. They fell miserably. Amen? So Urim and Thummim, before we meditate on this, I want us to remember this. The Hebrew or Jewish Bible, Tanakh, I pray that you all have a copy. If you don't, please buy and study. Tanakh. The Jewish Bible, which has only 39 books, correct? The first 5 are Torah. The 5 books of Moses. Remember, it's blessed inspiration. From the shepherd bag, there were 5 stones. And David took one stone and destroyed the wickedness. Whatever that came against God's children to feed the fear of men, David destroyed. Amen? The first 5 books of Moses, how important to the scripture. The whole Bible, the first 5 books, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, how crucial for all of us to understand the work of God. Because God revealed himself to Moses for him to write the book of Genesis. Can anyone say, what an inefficient leadership, taking 40 years from Egypt to promised land? I know the route. Within 3 days we will reach. Then who will write the 5 books? You? God hath not done anything without a cause. Even the mistake of a man or a woman, the Lord can transform into a blessing. Remember when David committed a sin against Bathsheba? Can we say, it is evil, he is sinful, everything is gone, the Lord is going to destroy the whole Israel? Then how did you learn about Ittai? How Ittai's faithfulness was revealed to you in the valley, in the brook Kidron? How David demonstrated that he is faithful to God? God, what God said? David, a man after my own heart. For what? To lift him as a king? No, the Lord saw him, what he was doing in the valley, not when he was seated at the throne. That is easy. You can praise the Lord when you are happy, healthy, wealthy. God does not care about the lips of your praise. But when you are broken, contrite spirit, if you could still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I am the Lord, whether I live or die, I am the Lord. If you can say it together, in the fall, you will be exalted when the Lord raises the children. If all of us are always looking for goodness, miracles, beautiful, tasty, unleavened bread, then what is the definition of perfection? A process of perfection is perfecting the people who are imperfect. We are all bound to that bracket. Not one can escape. Amen? Not one can escape because God is righteous. We are on this earth because we are imperfect. But we are perfect in His word, the hope of eternal glory. But we can't run before the ark. We follow Him. Now, Torah, 5 books of Moses, but he did not write Nevi'im and Ketuvim. Sometimes it is pronounced as Ketuvim. Hutch is not removed, but I use this spelling. Ketuvim or Nevi'im. So this is the collection of 21 books of prophets. But if you look deeply, the Jewish Bible, they only considered the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah are the major prophets. Daniel was left out. Daniel's book is actually in the group of writings. So, in our language, the meaning of Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim is the 5 books of Moses followed by what God did, the 21 books in the Old Testament in different sequence, and the writings, 13. Daniel is here. 70th week of Daniel, the Jews' repentance, the Lord opening their eyes, is actually parked under the category of the writings. But what's more interesting is, when they read in the synagogue, they only read Torah and Nevi'im. They do not read writings. If you go and study their culture, even now they had this Yom Kippur, 11th and 12th October, right? So they have a fixed reading, Bible study in their culture, but writings are not part of their weekly readings. It's always Torah and Nevi'im. We will go and study why. Now, why I wanted to show this to you? Because the word Torah is absolutely critical for us Christians, Gentiles, who receive the grace and mercy from the Lord, to learn Torah in the Bible they're carrying now. How come you receive the Torah wrote by Moses carrying in your hand right now? When he wrote? Which year he wrote? And how come we have the access? Last Sunday, I didn't have time, so I could not show what I prepared. But by God's grace, I'll show you the first image first. Let's look at the way how museums, denominational churches, they are all searching for the teachings of Aaron and Moses, how they search the two servants of God. They want to know how they look like. Were they fair, long hair, or bald-headed? How they look like? Do they look like from my culture so that I can boast? One of my own? Actually, that's what happened. That's what happened in the Old Testament. That is what happening in the New Testament. And that is what will happen until the Lord come and make things straight. Torah, the book of Moses. Moses had to spend time with God on the top of the mountain for him to have a revelation to write all of those in the Shekinah glory of the Lord, and the Lord was speaking to him. Amen? 40 years of building the foundation for the Holy Scriptures. So can we call it as stiff-necked people, worst people ever, the Lord punished them, the Lord enjoying burning them, devouring them, the Lord was going this and that, and How did the fruit of the 40 years of wilderness, my brethren? The Lord built priesthood. The Lord wrote the books of Torah. The Lord gave 10 commandments. The Lord performed miracles. The Lord showed who He is. He was revealing Himself to His children. He was enjoying the 40 years of show with His people. We may see all as sinful nature, punishment, worse, this and that. But what they did after they entered the promised land? Was it better? How many years they stayed in the promised land? The temple of Solomon was destroyed. King Nebuchadnezzar took over. They were taken as captives, scattered. 1948, in the world war, they were destroyed. So what do you mean by promised land? What do you want to achieve in your life? The work of the Lord in your life on the day is the best thing that can happen to you in your life. Because you may not see another day. You may not see another day. Not exaggerating. Speaking from the scripture. The Lord is our life. Amen. Our tomorrow is bound to His perfect will. So look at this Urim Thummim. Because the breastplate of judgment, the high priest, he was keeping in this fold. There are so many interpretations about it. We don't want to waste our time in vanity of doctrines. But in the blessedness, the Lord wanted to teach the people of God that His perfect will was in the breastplate of the high priest. And the high priest will tell you, yea, nay. Sit or run. Sleep or rest. You would say, oh, the Lord would never tell me to sleep. Is it? How many of you remember Garden of Gethsemane? The Lord rebuked the disciples for sleeping. After rebuking what He said. How many of you remember? He told them, go and sleep. Didn't He say that? The Lord rebuked the disciples. He told them, watch and pray. They couldn't. They had the good desire, but they slept because flesh is weak. The comforter was not given to them. Without the power of Holy Ghost, you can never be a witness. Forget about it. The Lord was teaching us a lesson. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the three disciples, they were so fervent, but the power of Holy Ghost was not given to them. The Lord says, you will receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Only then you can be a witness unto me. By what? By how? Watching and praying. Amen? But when they slept, the Lord rebuked them. Can't you be awake for some period of time? I ask you to stand with me. It's okay. The Son of Man will be arrested. Go and sleep. The Lord is not about making His children to go weary to the point whereby we destroy ourselves. We should go weary only by carrying the burdens of the Lord. And the Lord will give you rest. For what? He will place new burdens on you. Every day, that cross has to be carried. Amen? There is no holiday for your cross. That doesn't mean you wake up in the morning, today, again I have to carry my cross. No. The one who wants to follow me, deny himself. The one desire to follow me with joy, with passion. This is the best thing can happen to me today. Only those can carry the cross. Can carry the burden. Because knowing the comforter will comfort them. And the Lord will cast away the burden. For what? He will place His godly burdens again on you. To be an interceding brother and sister for one another. To pray for one another. To serve one another. Amen? In the congregation of the Lord. Without hypocrisy. So that's what the Lord says. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. So these 39 books are what? Revealed to the people of Israel. The children of God. And in their blindness, the New Testament, the New Covenant was not revealed unto them. And we received the privilege to know Christ first. For what? To run faster? Remember a few sentences ago I mentioned. Always when there are two runs, one reach faster or one reach slower. But that doesn't mean the Lord looks unto the one who was carrying the message at that point of time. Amen? Peter and the disciple. And the message of Absalom. And also Elisha. The Lord called us to understand from that. Why? Because He also compared Himself the forerunner, the one who ran forward to prepare the place for you and me. So, Urim Thummim, Torah, Nevi'im Ketuvim. Remember this verse in your heart. Because this must be in our heart. First image. Let's see how the face of Moses, face of Aaron was so aggressively searched by people. But the most important part was the one that is in the center. What the Lord told Moses to write. This is a sample. This is a sample. The center one is nothing but the book of Leviticus chapter 5 in Torah. Taken from a museum. Which was written, taken from the 10th century. On the right side, this is how people, they envision Moses, how he may look like. They draw him very long ago. in 1659, and this painting is in the museum in Berlin, Germany. On the left side, from my point of view, Aaron, this is a painting in the 3rd century, and this is in Syria, in a national museum, Damascus. You could see why denominational churches, they painted the picture of Jesus somewhat along those lines. A mix of Aaron, Moses, or whatever they could find, just to make them look so high priestly, so pharisaical, so Sadducee, kind of a garment, like, you know, grand, mighty clothing. And they built an empire. We can't deny that. They were successful in their business. Amen. We were all part of that blindness. The Lord delivered us because it happened in the past as well. So now, the Torah in the center, how come you are carrying the Bible in your hand now and the Lord revealed His word to all of us now and we don't read Torah? Anyone can read Torah? No, we can't read. We can only study and learn. So from here, and we are carrying the word of God, forget not what Moses did for the children of God, spending all his life writing those books. And people were accusing him. The Lord was not with him. The Lord was not leading him. He made mistakes. They were so angry with him. How the Lord would see if we speak the same? How the Lord would see if we speak the same about the one who wrote Torah? God deals with his children in a way the flesh would never ever understand. Things of the spirit will not be given to things of the natural. Never. Amen? God said, I will not yield my glory to anyone. He has no flesh. God is spirit. If we try to understand God and his revelation, interpretation, everything by our flesh, you would never receive what the spirit wanted to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear, not the physical ear. Yielding, submission, trusting and obeying. So this is the privilege, the Gentile that we receive. We can't say, I don't know Torah. It's called in Christianity, Pentateuch. If I pronounce correctly, Pentateuch. So, let's go to the second one. We are not concerned about how they look, but we can see how they look by how they live their life for the Lord. That is how they look. Amen? Righteous, humble. They sacrifice their life. If someone say, do you know how Moses looked? Yes, I know. He sacrificed his life for his people and he did not enter the place for his own glory. He obeyed the Lord and he lived his life and died the life for the name of the Lord. That is how he looked. Amen. Conform to what the Lord asked of him. Amen. Now, the difference between high priest or normal priest, two different examples, because nothing is accurate here. It's just for us to understand, because this is for us to have the blessed inspiration. The inner garments were almost the same for all the priests. But only for the high priest, there was an ephod, the blue robe, the pomegranate, the breastplate, and inside, the Urim and Thummim was inside. Now I ask you, in the wilderness, how many people were carrying the Urim and Thummim? 10? 3? 2? Always 1. Amen? There were not high priests. High priest. That singularity, what Jesus wanted us to learn from all there, from Aaron, died, given to Eleazar. It is given to next one, not at the same time. Amen. The order of God, the anointing of the Lord, and the work of the Lord cannot be divided. Amen? Amen. The Urim and Thummim is inside the breastplate. Let's read how the brother of Aaron, the younger brother of Aaron, his name is Moses. Let's see how he died. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, that is 48, is it? Let's read from 43. Yes. 43. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land, unto his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of his song in the ears of people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun. And we all know who is this. Joshua, Yehoshua, Yeshua, it's all represented in different names, but it means the same. The redemption of the Lord in the wilderness and the redemption of the Lord in the seventh church age. Verse 45, and Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Amen. So Moses is blessing the people of God. From verse 48 to verse 52. Brother Clement, please read this for us. From verse 48 to 52.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up to this mountain of Abraham, the Mount Nebo, which is the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people. Because you trespass against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel, yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there, into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel.
Amen. Please stand, brother. Let me read one verse. So let's go to Numbers 33. Let's come back to Deuteronomy again. Let's go to Numbers 33. Numbers 33, verse 50 to Numbers chapter 33, verse 48 to 56. Thank you, brother.
48. They departed from the mountains of Abram and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. They camped by Jordan from Beth Jesmoth as far as Abel Acacia Grove in the plains of Moab. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their graven stones, destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance.
Amen.
There, everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers.
Amen.
But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We all know what this verse means to Israel as we witness the events of the world, the fulfillment of God's word, and how righteous He is. And we are here to do the work of the Lord in His will. And we understand what happened to Israel during this time and what happened to Aaron and Moses. So now I would like to read chapter 27. After finishing reading this, let's look at the mountains. Chapter 27, verse 12. Chapter 27, verse 12. Numbers, chapter 27, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto thee, the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. So the Lord maintains the way he speaks, correct? Thy people, thy brother. Moses, bring Aaron and gather all the people unto Aaron, thy people, his people, when Aaron was alive. And God telling the same thing to Moses in 27. The last time he spoke the same thing was Numbers 20. 7 chapters later, the Lord is telling Moses, I will do the same to you. Be prepared. Bring all your people, gather unto you. Now, what is the difference is, when Aaron died, there was Moses alive to take the garment of Aaron and pass it to Eleazar, because it was high priestly garment. But when Moses dies, what will happen? Who can be there to do something on behalf of Moses? God. There was no one could come in between Moses and God. Do you hear me? There can never be anyone to come between Moses and God, because Moses was the medium. God was speaking through Aaron and to his people. When the Lord is going to take Moses, can someone say, let me do the final honors for you, Moses. It's been a wonderful time with you. Goodbye. No. He buried the body that no man can find. And he did everything in a way that flesh will be confounded. Spirit will, can only see through what the Lord did here. And the Lord said, for your brother, Mount Hor, for you, you go up to Mount Abarim and to Mount Nebo. Why two different mountains? Because there was a journey that Moses had to take from the place Aaron died. He was moving forward for the people until the very last breath of his life. He surrendered his life as a service. He was not there in the same place where Aaron died, correct? Moses knows the drill. He knows the duty. He served God, no one else. And he served God by loving and serving his children, because God is in the midst of his children. That is very clear. So Numbers 27 presents God's warning. He gave information in 27, but Moses did not die there. He was preparing Moses for him to wind down. Moses died later on. So now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 13 says, and when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered, because he see them as two vessels agreed in one spirit to do his same work. Amen? Same spirit. I will join you together. How? The same way I will do. Verse 14, what he say? He didn't say, my dear humble servant Moses, I love you so much. I don't care whatever you did. No, he is the truth, the righteous Lord Almighty. He says, ye rebelled against my commandment. But do you know what? God is not just speaking to Moses. He speaks to the people of Israel through Moses. But what the people would say? Poor Moses. I told him already. I gave him so many warnings, but he didn't see this coming. The Lord told him, you rebellious Moses. The Lord was not speaking to Moses. He used Moses to deliver the entire people of Israel from the captivity. How come people forgot? From when they became so ungrateful? The one who lived and died for the redemption of people was also blamed as a rebellious man. But the Lord spoke in a way we all could understand. The word of Moses was put in there, in the mouth of Aaron. If Aaron was carrying the breastplate of judgment, then what Moses was doing? He was the one judging people of Israel day and night. First, the father-in-law Jethro came. Delegate this. 72 elders. You can't do this. This we can't carry. He delegated the burden to the brothers and the elders. And the high priest carried all the judgment upon himself with the golden plate on his forehead to bear the iniquity of all the holy things. The brother carried the burden with the brother. A true church. Amen? A true church lived, died together for one another. Aaron did not escape, did not run away when Moses was going through a lot of trouble. He stood by him until the very last breath of his life. He held his peace when the two sons were burnt. He held his peace. Even the two sons were burnt. It was Moses whom the Lord called for could serve him. Aaron was also put into the bucket. Two. The Lord needs two. Now what we read? It was Caleb and Joshua. Two. Why not one? The Lord needs two to agree in His name. For His Spirit to dwell in the midst of them. Amen? Urim Tumim. We won't understand if we don't understand Moses and Aaron. Now, after this, prophets, writing, these are all books. And the Lord fulfilled what He promised. But what is important here is verse 14. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation. Now you see, the Lord unfolds. Can Moses say, Lord, you yourself said, the strife of congregation, what is that to do with me? He won't say. Why? In the golden calf situation, he himself said, blot my name out from a people. The Lord would say, you told that, right? Exodus. Remember, Exodus 32. Now we are in Numbers. The Lord is so beautiful. When Jesus spoke to all of us, there is no greater love than one who can lay his life for his friend. A true love. Can you see it in Jonathan? Can you see it in Aaron and Moses? Of course we should see. We can see. And to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. The Lord is specifically mentioning the place because there was another place of Meribah, strife for another water, in Exodus 17. And Moses spake unto the Lord. What he said? Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. It's not fair. I'm very close to see the place. No. He didn't say anything. Why? The death of Aaron is not the same as the death of Moses. Correct? Aaron had the clothing of high priest by Moses. But Moses had a different place in the wilderness. Let the Lord, God of the spirits of all flesh. What Joshua said? O earth, all flesh, be silent. Amen? Moses says, oh, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. What he said? Lord, show mercy on me. Lord, teach me to number my days. Lord, don't you think the one who spent the time with the Lord on the top of the mountain to write the books of Torah, was he not talking to God face to face? Don't he know the will of God? So God did not say anything to him. He was not led with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord was resting upon Moses. Amen? Amen? But yet, as a flesh, he has to go through perfection. But when he goes through perfection, can someone say, John the Baptist, this man baptized me, now he is complaining in the prison. My baptism was wrong. Please baptize me again. You are a hypocrite. Amen. The work of the Lord in our life, today is the day. Tomorrow, the vessel whom you are pleased with can be the vessel of adversity. Today, the vessel of adversity with whom you are hurting can be the vessel of honor tomorrow. Amen. But it is the Spirit of the Lord that doeth all things. Amen. So, the Lord, he received a request from Moses, which we may go out before them, and which we may go in before them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Past 4 weeks, I have been repeatedly saying, Aaron went in, went out, he died not. David went out, came in, he died not. This is the first time Moses is asking the Lord. Lord, let the Lord, God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. What? Amen. Which may go out before them, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which may go in before them, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which may lead them out, Jesus Christ, which may bring them in, Jesus Christ, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what Joshua represents? The one who finished what the Lord started. Amen. And God used Moses, God used Aaron, God used Eleazar, God used Phinehas, God used Joshua, God used Caleb. He used all his vessels of honor. He also used all the vessels of dishonor. He got things done. Amen. So, now let's go to the mountains, please. The image number 3. I want all of us to look at this very carefully. This is very important for us to spiritually move forward. some of us may be stuck in our own mind, own understanding, own pain, own sorrow. But the Lord is all about His faithfulness in His children. He just wants us to show how faithful we are to Him in His spirit. Look at the mountains. I will read for those who cannot see the small text. I will start from the top left. Mount Carmel on the top and Mount Tabor below. I use it as a reference so that you all remember. Because Sea of Galilee, we all should remember. Sea of Galilee. So Mount, I don't want to focus on all the Mount. I will only speak about few mountains because there are so much. There are more than 10 very important ones. So Mount Carmel and Mount Tabor, keep it as a reference to the places where Aaron and Moses could not cross. Correct? They did not cross. Forget about that place. They couldn't even cross Mount Olivet. So now, Mount Nebo, the red color dot, Sister Yuan can show, yes. This is where Moses died on the top of the mountain, gathered unto all the people, as the Lord said. But the Lord says, go unto Mount Abarim, unto Mount Nebo. So there was a process for the Lord to show Moses the plains of the land in which God's children would dwell in. Amen. He saw afar off, but he did not enter. That is Mount Nebo. Now, Aaron, he died at the place called Mount Hor. Can you see the distance from the bottom of Mount Hor all the way to Mount Nebo? So, the man of God, the servant of God, the leader of Israel, he had to take the step every single day from the place where his elder brother died to the place where he's supposed to die. The garment of salvation the Lord has put on all of us, we can only live a life. We can't throw it away. Amen? The Lord called all of us, die in sin, live in spirit. Amen? So we are called to die to our old self and continue to live as a new man with a new garment, new salvation, new spirit, new covenant. Everything is new. All the old things are gone. So from Mount Hor and Moses, he reached a place on Mount Nebo. So now I zoom in. So Moses was told to go to Mount Abarim unto Mount Nebo. Now this is where the Lord showed him the plains where the people of God will enter. But God said, after showing all of this, you rebelled against me in this land, that land, so you are entering. And Moses didn't complain anything. He just prayed, Lord, I pray thee, fulfill the promises that you have given to your children. It was not just about promised land. If not, why he was there in the Mount of Transfiguration? Now, this is the mountains that separates a lot of different beautiful works of God. Other mountains we will talk someday later. Let's go to the outlook of Israel. Let's zoom in. In the current situation, if we talk about what's going on, we could talk about all day. But the Lord wants us to be focused in what we should do at this time of interval that we are living and how we can be a fruitful vessel to Him. Amen? We are not here to be distracted by news, but rather to be inspired by the revelation of the Spirit. So, on the left side, Israel looked like a small little dot covered by all the nations around, big nations. It is in the center. We know Jerusalem, Jordan, Israel, Egypt on the other side. On the other side of the Red Sea, you have Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Syria, Iran, Lebanon, Turkey. And we could see what's going on now. Every day things are changing. Now let's go to the second side. We will zoom in a bit. Israel as a land. Forget not, God compared us like a woman, and He compared the woman like a tree, and also a garden, and He compared the earth that she should produce her increases. The Lord compared us to His beautiful divine creation. Amen. Land, tree, mountain, so and so, lively stones. So, in the land of Israel, you could see Jerusalem is at the corner, as you could see there. On top, you have Nazareth. Amen. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how Apostle Peter healed the man who was lame. Now let's go to the last image of how Israel is today. Just for us to remember the Torah that was given to Moses, all these thousands of years kept by them, and they fell, they were scattered as captives, slaves, and they were destroyed in so many holocausts, so many attempts, but still there is a remnant shielded, protected, preserved by the Lord Almighty for Him to glorify His name in His appointed time. The Lord who was ascended in the mount, He will come in the day He ascended. Amen? He will come. So now, in the map of Israel, if you look at this, Egypt on this side, Jordan on the other side, and on the top, you have Mount Tabor and Mount Carmel. So, the current map, we cannot see clearly Mount Nebo and Mount Hor, but you could understand from what I showed before, Mount Hor, the place Aaron died, is far below, and Mount Nebo is very close to the promised land, but not on the other side of Jordan, but on the opposite side of Jordan, because Moses did not cross. Amen? So now, I was just meditating on different mountains. Sometimes you prefer something, but you don't get to share, because the Lord is the one who decides what we should meditate. I just tilted the picture because I was trying to zoom in. Then I looked, the entire land of Israel, just a blessed inspiration, looks like a mountain itself. Correct? If you tilt it upside down, the land of Israel will look as if it's a mountain if you look from the top. It has its own slope on the right and the left, and it has the top which is linked to the sea, correct? And if you zoom out, it also looks like a sharp stone as if it pierced through a land, like a knife, like a sword. So I was just meditating on the mountains, and why the Lord is so concerned about mountains around the land of Israel. Why the Lord allowed His children to meet Him up on the mountain. Why Jesus Christ always go alone in the mount to pray. So, the mount where Aaron died, Mount Hor, the mount where Moses died, God told him to go unto Mount Abarim, unto Mount Nebo. So the meaning of the Mount Hor is to take someone to a place called high, exalted place, high. Or even to think in a divine way, or even to conceive thoughts, all in a spiritual way. The meaning of the Mount Hor. It's also called the Mountain of Mountains. Amen? The place where the high priest died is called the Mountain of Mountains. And the place where Moses was taken, as the Lord told, is called Mount Abarim, as we read Mount Nebo. It also means across Jordan, regions beyond, crossing over. So, the meaning of the mountains, the meaning of the names, we can say it's all coincidence, but the meaning of the name Jesus, Yahweh, is salvation, and the Lord bless all of us by the way He changed the name of Abraham to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. The way the Lord deals with all of us in His mountain, in His Urim and Tumim, in the breastplate of His judgment. There are a lot of things that we can reflect upon from the book of Samuel and the book of Judges. We will go there. By God's grace, I pray the Lord inspire our hearts. The garment of high priest was prepared to be passed to generations. The sacrifice and atonement was done on Calvary for the ministry of redemption to keep burning all the flesh, all the wickedness, until the Lord come and take all of us home to give us the white robe, the righteous deeds of saints. So all the changes in the garment in different chapters, as the Lord we will meditate. May the Lord bless us as I close. Let's all stand. I close with a single verse. Let's all stand. Let's turn our Bibles to book of Hebrews. I read from chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 20. Chapter 8, verse 6. Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen. Our High Priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. Amen. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind. Amen? Into their mind. And write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our God, the Lord who is the same yesterday, today and forever, the Lord who clothed all of us by the garment of salvation, the Lord who removed all the garment of filthiness, Lord, may you bless us, Lord, to be able to continue to be a wonderful, faithful, sincere, genuine, truthful servant of God, child of God, who love one another indeed in truth, who serve one another in sincerity, in humbleness. Lord, we pray, may you wash us, Lord, with thy blood. May you wash us, Lord, in the river of Jordan. May you teach us, Lord, to learn from the priesthood and the royal priesthood. For you call all of us to be the princes and priests to continue to carry thy work for the glory of thy name. May you bless us, Lord, as we surrender. In Jesus' name, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.